The 24th Problem by Janiah Riley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Chapter 12. Sound. Fury.
2019. Common Earth Era. Lalande Estate. New York.
Rose had never even tried to go back to sleep. The exercise would simply be one of frustration at such an early hour. Instead, once John had retreated back to his bedroom, she'd sat down on the couch and stared out at the half moon hovering in the sky. She'd watched it as it slowly followed its track down the night sky, watched as it cowered away over the horizon as the sky became the domain of the pre-dawn, wreathed in the pale ghost light of the impending sunrise, still hours away. It was sometime in this early hour when she heard the first gunshot. Rose started up from her spot on the couch and looked around quickly. She'd heard gunshots in the distant woods before, but it wasn't hunting season. Nor was it light enough for hunters to be out in the first place, too close to be some far-off neighbor shooting on their own property. Something was wrong. She went up the stairs to where her room was, moving as quietly as possible. Her clothes from the previous night were tossed on the floor haphazardly, but that wasn't important. She pulled on a shirt and pants as quickly as she could, slipping on her shoes and grabbing her purse. Out in the hallway again, still trying to be as quiet as possible. John was standing there looking confused. Rose, is that one of your mom's guards doing target practice? The thought hadn't even occurred to her. It was a tempting one, but something about this. Her thoughts were cut off midstream as another series of noises rang across the estate. This wasn't the singular bark of a rifle from before, but the devil's coughing laughter of an automatic weapon fitted with a suppressor. Short bursts interrupted the quiet. Not silent by any means, but hard to pinpoint and nearby. If she could hear it at all.
"We need to get the others," Rose hissed, keeping her voice down. "Keep quiet and don't turn on any lights."
Fear spread over John's face. That was good. At least he had the good sense not to brush this off.
"What's happening?"
She shook her head and moved down the hallway to the room where Dave was sleeping. One knock and Dave was already at the door, half-dressed.
"Yo, what the fuck, sis, that?"
"Yes, get your shit on. We're going to the main house. Mother's got a panic room there and there'll be guards."
From outside, more of the light chatter of suppressed gunfire, then the staccato ring of a submachine gun being fired in return, so whoever was shooting had finally encountered their first resistance. And why was she so sure that this had become a gunfight? The back and forth of the gunfire answered her question in the next moment, as she continued down the hall to Jade's room. Jade was already dressed and coming out the door by the time they arrived, keeping her head low. Hadn't she had some experience with handling weapons before? Rose thought she'd said something.
"Why are there gunshots?"
Jade asked, keeping her own voice down, smart.
"What's happening?"
A question that none of them truly had an answer for.
"We're going to the main house, come on."
A nod from all of them, and that was enough. No one had any other ideas, and something bad was happening. Rose led the way down the stairs, motioning for the others to follow. They were halfway to the front door of the guest house when Rose heard the sound of the rear door opening, along with a voice calling out,
"Sweeping for survivors!"
She froze.
"Sir, we have secondaries on site, confirming now."
The voice was cold. The kind of voice that saw violence as nothing more than another tool in the box.
"Turn around, slowly. Keep your hands in the air."
That part was directed at her. She raised her hands and turned around slowly, seeing the others doing the same. Three figures all dressed in military garb. Something that looked like a special forces operator of some kind, complete with body armor and ballistic helmets. Masks were pulled up over their faces, revealing only their eyes. Each of them carried carbines fitted with suppressors. Rose recognized the FN SCAR that was popular with the U.S. military soldiers then. No unit patches or insignia, but their equipment.
"Roger that, we're checking the list."
The soldier who'd spoken before lowered their weapon and pulled out some kind of ruggedized tablet. They flipped through it for a second, then pressed down on their gear, probably a radio transit button.
"Sir, two secondaries and two civilians confirmed. Please advise."
A short pause.
Rose had a bad feeling about what would happen next. She wanted to close her eyes so badly, but she was frozen in place, unable to move, unable to think beyond the second that she was existing inside of.
Roger that!
And then everything happened at once. The sound of a mechanical scream that pierced the room. The noise of a carbine being fired into a closed space, and the first two soldiers collapsed to the ground. Blood spraying from their heads like deep red ink in the darkness of the room, briefly illuminated by a muzzle flash. The shattering of glass from the side of the room. The lead soldier turned, moving in slow motion, reaching for the carbine that now hung in a sling at their side. Too slow. Another roar of gunfire, and their head snapped paradoxically forward as bits of helmet and human alike blew out the back of their head. They were on the ground, before Rose even had a chance to realize what was happening. Two people were moving into the room. Through the now shattered floor-length window, Rose recognized the severe-looking woman from the other day. The woman was holding a short-barreled rifle, the G-36K carbine, her mind instinctively told her, and the man was using the same MP7A1 that several of the guards had been armed with. They were dressed in suits, enough bulk under there to conceal body armor, but probably not proof against the rounds being fired by the intruders. She glanced over at the bodies crumpled on the floor. Nondescript plate carriers fitted with ballistic armor, and she'd been right about the weapons, too, the FN SCAR. In the short-barreled MK7 CQC configuration.
Why can't I turn this part of my brain off?
She was terrified. She should be shaking, but she felt like the part of herself that processed those emotions had simply turned itself off. What's happening? Jade's voice cut into those thoughts and snapped Rose's attention back. Next to her, Dave was standing in stunned silence, looking like he was about to start crying. John was about to have a panic attack. Jade looked angry. Everything was all crammed together into one moment. Miss Lalonde, we need to get you to safety, the woman with the ponytail and the G-36K said, talking as she and her companion swept the room quickly, looking for more of the intruders. The compound is under attack. Who? Rose heard herself asking, feeling like she was far away right now, too far away. Are any of you hurt? The woman asked. Rose shook her head, muttered a response that was enough for this woman, apparently. Good, I'm going to go out the door and you're all going to follow me. Simmons will take the rear. So that was the man's name, an utterly useful piece of trivia that would be forever burned into her brain by the trauma of the moment. There's a protocol for this, and the main building is fortified.
There was a protocol for this? Of course there was.
It made perfect sense that her mother had thought of every eventuality, even the possibility of a raid by... Was this some rival corporation, the government? Mercenaries sent by a foreign country? It didn't matter, they weren't safe. Right, Rose mumbled. The woman opened the front door slowly, leaning out the door and scanning the area. The compound's natural vegetation was proving to be a double-edged sword, providing concealment but also hiding whatever was happening out there. More gunfire from another part of the compound, suppressed and unsuppressed, and it was hard to tell which side was winning.
Move on my signal,
the woman whispered, then dashed out the door, moving with almost total silence. She stopped a short ways down the path, taking cover behind a decorative wall and motioning for the others to follow. Rose crossed the distance between her and the ponytailed woman, expecting her journey to be cut short by the white-hot sensation of bullets cutting through her body. When she reached the other side by the wall, she reached down and patted herself, not fully believing she was still alive. The others made the crossing without incident, and finally Simmons crossed over, positioning himself by the corner of the wall and tucking his submachine gun up against his body, stabilizing the weapon and bracing against the wall. There's a side path here that leads to the back entrance to the house. We came this way, so it should be clear. Without bothering to explain what that meant, the woman led them along a well-hidden path that ducked around into a stand of bushes, then opened up. As they ran along the path, Rose noticed a pair of bodies. More of the soldiers from before, with characteristic exit wounds in the back of their heads, she shivered. At least this woman was on their side. Another curve in the path, and the first body she'd seen of one of the security personnel, a woman splayed out by some bushes, her torso wet with deep red splotches that spread out from the holes torn by hollow-point rifle rounds. She heard Dave gag behind her, then throw up, then a keep moving from Simmons behind them. Everything was happening in a way that felt out of sequence, a disconnected blur of then and now that kept shuffling its order slightly as they made their way toward the house. It couldn't have been more than a couple minutes when the house loomed above them, leering out of the pre-dawn shadows.
It was on top of them before Rose could fully form her thoughts on it, and then they were moving past a pair of sentries that had set up behind some kind of portable ballistic shields that looked heavy enough to stop an armor-piercing rifle round. They said nothing. Didn't bother to stop to confirm identities when they recognized Rose's escorts. Into the main house through some back entrance. Into the dimly lit interior corridors used by the staff. This part of the house didn't smell like alcohol. Only like cleaning fluid and cordite and blood. They wound their way past a series of hallways, then up a flight of stairs to the main living room. The alcohol smell was back, but masked over with the scent of gunpowder and violence. It looked like the living room's walls had been shuttered with reinforced metal, ballistic protection built into the very fabric of the house. Rose couldn't help but wonder if it had always been there. If her childhood had just been an exercise in not seeing what was right in front of her.
Good. You're here.
A familiar voice, the voice of her mother, but worn ragged by stress in a way that she'd never heard before.
Simmons, Young, please help reinforce the perimeter here.
Young, that was the ponytailed woman's name. The two guards nodded silently and went off to the far corners of the room, joining another group of armed staff. Rose saw that some of the others were dressed in staff uniforms, but all of them carried themselves like professional soldiers. Had those people that served as staff in the mansion all been selected like this? Her mother had one of those G-36K carbines, too, slung around her body, her hand on the pistol grip, but her finger off the trigger. She looked too comfortable with it, another thing that Rose had never seen before, never noticed before, maybe.
Dr. Lalonde, what's going on?
Jade's voice shaking with, was it fear? No, Rose had been right before. She was angry.
Who are these people?
Mother smiled at Jade, smiled right through her.
I'm afraid that the explanation is a complicated one. It will have to wait for now. There's a helicopter on the way to pick us up.
More confusion. Another confounding factor thrown in at the last minute, a gunfight. Soldiers wearing no unit patches escaping by helicopter. Her mother turned to one of the security personnel.
Are the charges set?
No, ma'am. We ran into some resistance and the team isn't responding.
The response was full of ice.
Get another team down there now. If we can't retake it, we need to destroy it.
Yes, ma'am.
More information that was going over her head. More things that maybe she should have picked up on over the years. Secrets on secrets inside of other larger secrets outside. The sound of gunfire again, but it was getting quieter. Which side was winning? Was her mother even on her side ever since that fucking matchbook appeared out of nowhere and sent them to that fucking office building? In the distance, the sound of a helicopter's rotors whirred a dull, flat drone. Her mother's face seemed to light up, if only for a moment.
Rose.
Why was her mother only speaking to her?
When they get here, we'll have to go up to the roof. I promise I'll explain more later, okay?
Her tone was almost soft, uncharacteristically so. Near silence settled in, finally. The gunfire in the distance stopped, and only the sound of the helicopter rotors humming in the air to interrupt it. Was that a good thing? Who was still out there? The answer to her question was a roar, a blinding flash of light, and Rose was knocked off her feet. Her head struck the floor hard, and everything went black. Rose came to and the acrid smells hit her nose all at once. Blood, vomit, smokeless powder burned at the tail end of 5.56mm cartridges. She could hear someone screaming. Dave, maybe Jade. No, it was John that was screaming. She could hear a soft, oh my fucking God, repeated from Dave over and over again, echoing oddly in the emptiness of the living room. Jade was quiet. She hoped that Jade was okay, a ringing in her ears and the faint sound of the helicopter still overhead. But nothing beyond that. She opened her eyes, and she was staring back at the unblinking gaze of her mother. Rose pushed herself up, nearly stumbling over. She was still shaky from the blow to the head.
Mom?
She thought that maybe that was the first time she'd ever called that woman by that particular term.
Mom, are you?
She already knew the answer. Her mother's body was riddled with pockmarks of dappled red, and her throat was torn open where a rifle round had found its mark. It wasn't a pretty sight. The way that her mother's body splayed on the ground in the midst of too much red, Rose felt her vision narrow, focused down on only what was in front of her.
Mom! You have to get up!
Hollow words left her throat, meaningless words.
Mom!
She dropped down beside her mother's body, screaming at her now words that ripped ragged out of her throat, still burning with the nitrite burn of the gunpowder and explosives. Mom! Get up! There was no response, staring and staring and staring and staring and staring and staring and staring and
Rose!
Jade's voice still shockingly angry.
Rose, need to get out! Oh no. Oh shit, shit, shit.
Dave's voice on the verge of panic. Everyone's fucking dead, man! What the fuck? She looked back. In the short span where she was unconscious, the living room had become an abattoir. Blood stained the rich carpets and hardwood floors. Bullet holes pockmarked everything. Shell casings lay haphazard on the floor. Dead soldiers and security personnel alike were strewn everywhere. Rose recognized the body of Young. The woman with the ponytail, half her face, was missing. Back to her mother. Dropping down low and listening at her chest as if there was any chance that she was still breathing, nothing, no sign of life. Rose felt the tickle of the still warm blood on the side of her head and jerked up, quickly startled. This wasn't supposed to happen like this, wasn't supposed to be like this, wasn't supposed to...
Mom! You have to get up!
More words, useless words.
You can't just be dead!
This was wrong, wrong, all wrong. If Mom was going to die, she needed to tell Rose what to do next. She needed to lie there, gasping her last breath, and tell her the answers to everything. There were so many secrets locked in that dead, decaying, soon-to-rot head of her mother. It wasn't fair, wasn't fair, was...
Rose!
Jade's shout brought her back out of the reverie she'd fallen into.
We need to leave! Your mom said there was a helicopter!
No more Dr. Lalonde from anyone, not anymore, but Jade was right. The sound of the helicopter in the air was their way out. They had a clear path up to the roof from inside, and then they could... Rose was looking up at the sky when she saw the fireball. Nothing like in the movies. In the movies, there was always a dramatic trail and that moment of uncertainty here in the real world. And there was a moment where the helicopter was flying in for a landing. And a moment where something hit it, traveling 800 feet per second and exploded, shattering the body of the unarmored commercial helicopter into glowing fragments of molten metal, and sending the remainder of the aircraft tumbling down to the ground, landing somewhere on the estate.
No.
Rose heard the sound leaving her mouth, but couldn't fully process it. Next to her, the sensation of someone grabbing her arm and hauling her up, Jade again as calm as the dead she felt inside her, but still able to react in a way Rose didn't think she could.
We need to leave? Is there anywhere we can go?
Rose sent her mind flying through her mental map of the place, the buildings and gardens and garages. There had to be something that she was missing.
Mother, I want to go play with Jaspers.
Rose was 10 years old, and she already knew what her mother would say.
Rose, dear, Jaspers is dead. I know, Mother, I know what dead means. But I wanted to go have a seance in his tomb. Darling, you must stay away from that place. It is important that you not play there.
The tomb. Rose struggled to get fully to her feet, grabbing at Jade's head as she pulled herself up. We need to get to the tomb! The light of dawn was already cresting the trees when they stepped out of the hole left by the breaching charge used to punch a hole through the main house's ballistic shields. Soon they wouldn't even have the cover of darkness to hide them, and Rose had no way of knowing how many more of those soldiers were around. She didn't notice any right away, and the bodies on the ground seemed to be a mixture of both them and her mother's security forces. As far as she could tell, the fighting had mostly stopped. But in the distance, she heard the low noise of another helicopter. Not the light, commercial kind that had been coming to pick them up, but something big, something military issue. Out on the horizon, Rose could see the silhouettes of two large military helicopters drawing towards the estate, moving far too fast for comfort.
Maybe they're here to help.
John's voice had a hopeful note to it. Thought he didn't really believe that, did he? We need to go, Rose muttered. If there was a lull in the fighting, that just meant that the intruders were probably going to regroup and make one more sweep of the compound. There's only one place I can think of to go.
Yeah, back fucking home!
Dave interrupted. He was still panicking. We call the cops! We find somewhere to hide and wait! She looked around at the gaping hole in the side of the house and the bodies on the ground. When she spoke, Rose kept her voice soft and even. Dave? We need to go. Jasper's tomb wasn't far from the main house, and luck was with them enough to not encounter more of the soldiers on the way. There were, however, more bodies. A few of the soldiers and a lot of the security staff. How many people had her mother had working here? A practical army of staff. And they hadn't been able to do anything to hold back what was coming. The tomb was right there, that strange monument to her mother's humanity. She stepped inside, followed by the others ducking down under the low ceiling. It was a grand place, for sure. But a grand place on the scale of a cat. For people, it was still cramped. But the passage opened up and dropped back down into the ground. Had it always been like this, even when she was a girl? She'd always wanted to play here, but had been forbidden under all possible circumstances. Maybe it was the irony then that guided her here, or fate, or... A strange glimmer in her vision, something that coaxed her onward. No, not the sense of something from another world. And everything went black. End of Act One. For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Janiah Riley. The music is Cycles, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can also find other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.